the kingdom, that there was peace on all sides. So he had a relationship with every king. And even though the king may not be ruled by Solomon, he was very much influenced by Solomon. The known world at that time was controlled by Solomon. He had everything. He had everything in terms of money, in terms of power, in terms of political influence. We know that he had wisdom. We know that he had all the wives and concubines that he ever desired. He had literally everything. So you think today, well, there's a powerful person, this person, that person. It says in the scripture, he had more from everything, and whatever he desired, he did not keep from them. He had absolutely everything. He had every material possession he could ever imagine right at his fingertips. If it wasn't within his country, it was within territories that he controlled. He had access to absolutely everything. And he says, I kept my heart from no pleasure, and I found pleasure in my toil. In other words, everything that I did yielded fruit, and I became even more powerful. And his power grew and grew and grew until he was the most powerful person on the planet. And it's told that no one ever has had more than him. And I don't take that as he was the richest person ever in terms of quantity of cash, but in proportion to the world's wealth, he was the richest, most powerful person ever. So in the world that existed at that time, if he had 95% power, control, money, it proportional to today and everything between Solomon and today, no one has ever exercised that much power. And this is what we see. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, here's his conclusion. And behold, all was vanity. All was striving after the wind. Elsewhere we read, it's like trying to grab the wind. How many of you have been successful in grabbing the wind? No one, ever. Striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. And what that means is, under the sun, everything in all creation, at that time they would consider everything under the sun to be created by God. Everything in creation, all of it, there was nothing to be gained under the sun that he didn't have that brought him joy or pleasure. So I don't say this morning to depress you. I say this morning because this was the beginning of my change of heart. I literally went through a Bible study about 8 years ago of Ecclesiastes. It was one of the most depressing times of my life. I went through it for about 3 months. Because it's a dark book, and I would encourage you to read it, not to enter into that darkness, but to come to the conclusion that we'll talk about. But it literally goes through every area of life, and it says it's vanity. It's meaningless. There's only one thing that has meaning, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But in the area of possessions, it is meaningless. There is nothing there. As I was getting ready to come and talk to you guys about this series, I still have in me, even though I'm years removed from it, I still have in me this desire that my kids are going to have it better than I had when I grew up. I want them to have the stuff that I never had. I still want to, even though I know that I'm not the richest guy on the block, because it just isn't a reality anymore, I still have a desire like, they have that. Boy, I sure would like to have that. I want my kids to have the greatest Christmas ever, right? I want them to experience more fun, more happiness in this Christmas than ever before. I still have that desire. And I was thinking through this series, and I was feeling kind of the stress, as Bridget and I, she said this past week, just all the things that we've been doing over the past 2 weeks to get the house ready. So I'm out there blowing leaves in the yard, right? And before I started blowing leaves, we were doing this major reorganization, because you guys know that I love to organize. We're doing this organization inside the house, and we have tons of shoes. When you have 7 kids, you have tons of shoes. And people give us shoes, too, because their kids grow out of the shoes. So we literally, no joke, we had 11 Tupperware bins full of just shoes all over our house, because I collected them all. How do I know? Because I went ballistic, and I collected all the Tupperware bins, and I put them out in the driveway, and I asked Bridget kindly, Bridget, I sure wouldn't like to bring all these Tupperware bins back inside the house. If you want something done, it's just a tactic that I've used. You put it in the middle of the driveway. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but it is effective. I put all the bins in the middle of the driveway, and I said, let's go through these before we bring them back into the house. So Bridget was very... Maybe I said it like that. I don't remember. It escapes me. Anyway, so the Tupperware bins are sitting in the driveway, and I tell Bridget to go through these bins before we bring them back into the house, and she's going through them. I'm blowing off the yards, getting all the leaves out, and I'm thinking, boy, we have so much stuff to do. How are we gonna do it this year? How are we gonna afford the gifts for the kids? The kids are getting older; they want more expensive stuff. How are we gonna do it? And I'm running the blower, and I'm kind of agitated because I'm going through everything I have to do in my head. And as I'm running the blower, Nate comes up to me, and he starts talking to me as I'm running the blower, and I can't hear him. Nate's our little 5-year-old, And I'm like, oh, geez, can't he see that the sun's going down? I have to get these leaves blown. I mean, doesn't he know this? So I'm running the blower, and he's talking louder. And I could tell he's talking louder, but I'm just blowing everything off. And finally, I'm like, okay, fine. He really wants to tell me something, and I'm just irritated, frustrated. So I turn off the blower. I don't have time for this. And I turn off the blower, and I was like, what, Nate? What do you want? And he goes, Dad, check it out. New shoes. And I look down at these little shoes on his feet, and they must have been worn by at least one, if not two kids before him. They were shoes that were given to us, and they didn't look that great, but they were new to him. And I thought, what a jerk I am to be thinking about all of the stuff that I want to do and focusing on all these things. And Nate's excited about these new shoes. They were new to him. They had tremendous value to him. But here I was in my normal mindset, worldly mindset, of getting all caught up in the things that I wanted from this world. And Nate's saying, check out these awesome new shoes, Dad. And the point is that the Lord has to change your heart before he changes how you live your life and change your mind in the area of finances. See, I still thought at times, I still think at times like I did 10 years ago, and I can't think like that because the Lord has changed my heart to the place where I know that it's meaningless. I know, like Solomon, I've had lots of stuff, certainly nothing compared to Solomon. He had everything. But if you ever keep thinking to yourself, well, if I reach the point, there's the guy that had everything, and he said it's meaningless. And when I came to the point and thought, this is meaningless, which the Lord still teaches me at times, like he did a few days ago with Nate, we recognize that it's more than that. But we still are in the mindset that we need it now. And the mindset of we need it now drives us to do stupid things. I am Steve Martin in this video. So a comical look at how we tend to view our money and the way that we manage our money. And it's so true. And the funny part is I couldn't find the exact date, but that's from Saturday Night Live. And it's from like 30 years ago in Saturday Night Live, or at least 20 years ago. It's a while ago. And if you think that it was in that state back then, it's even heightened more so today. So what are we going to do if we understand that we don't find our joy in money, in things, in gifts during this Christmas season? Well, before I let you go to small groups, I just wanted to share a few things with you. First off, number one is one of the greatest things that happened. I told you there was a change in heart first, and then there was a change in mind for Bridget and I. The change in heart happened after we switched, and I switched careers and came here to the church. And it was just this realization that I'm not going to find my happiness in stuff. That was the change of heart, that really is meaningless. But the change of mind was a process that still takes place. And one of the biggest steps in that process, as I learned what to do, how to act upon that change of heart, was taking Financial Peace University. And this is not just a plug because it's here at RBC. I took it because it was here and I wanted to experience everything that RBC had to offer so I could tell people about it. But it literally changed our lives in terms of how we looked at money. So Financial Peace University will start up again It takes place on Sunday afternoons. It'll start up again in January. And registration is not open yet, but when that opens up, if you have not taken that class, I would highly encourage you to. And a lot of the things that I'm going to share with you right now come directly from that class. So if you want the good version, you need to go to the class. It's very well taught. Dave Ramsey's an incredible communicator, and you look forward to going to class every week, really, and it's a wonderful program to go through, and I learned so much. But in light of that, taking that class, if you can't take it or it doesn't work, Liam and I will be taking it again, because once you take it, you can take any of your children through it. So Bridget and I took it as a couple. Now I'm taking Liam through it starting in January. If you have an opportunity to do it, highly recommend it. A couple other little things around money management during the Christmas season. Create a Christmas budget. So just ask your spouse, how much are we going to spend total on gifts? Don't let it be dictated by your credit limit. Don't let it be dictated by how much you have in your bank account. Ask your spouse, communicate what your budget limit, and then break that budget down and say, how much are we going to spend per kid? How much are we going to spend for extended family? How much are we going to spend in these areas? Break that down. Next thing, you guys set the bar in terms of expectation with each other as a couple. So you can reset the bar. We think it's out of our control because we think that the bar is controlled by the world we live in the richest county or second richest county in America. But it's not. We control the bar. So if Bridget and I are happy and content with what we're giving and what we're receiving, that's the bar. It's not what's going on. You don't need the latest, greatest thing. Now, I know some of you are natural savers. Some of you are natural spenders. That's another thing that comes up in FPU. And figuring out who's what and how that works together. It's definitely a good exercise to do, but you probably don't have time to go through all that before Christmas. But just recognizing your natural tendencies and then setting the bar at an appropriate level. And then finally, there are such things as inexpensive and free gifts. So if you've already spent, if your budget is $200, $300 total for the Christmas season, you're going to spend this much on gifts. So you sent out your cards, you dropped $100 on cards and postage, now you have $300 left, and you start breaking it down. I'm going to have two kids, $100 per kid, then I have $100 left that I'm going to use for friends and family, whatever it looks like for you. As you look through it, you might have to adjust and say, well, I really want this gift for this person. Well, that's great, but it's $20 over the budget that you allotted for them. Well, either don't give them that, or you have to make up for that $20 elsewhere. And again, as a parent, one really easy way to make up $20 is in your gift giving to one another. And if you're on the same page in terms of what the bar is, then you can do that, but you need to communicate through that process. So if you agree, it's okay that I give you something that I've made, like I make you a photo album, or if you've ever done the little tickets, like you put 10 little tickets in a box, and the tickets are, I'm going to give you one night out with your friends. I'm going to give you a back rub. I'm going to go do the grocery shopping for you. I'm going to help you do this, that, and the other thing around the house. That gift of service is a great free gift. It costs you your time that you can give to your spouse during the holiday season. So there's some great inexpensive gift ideas to use. So there's some practical ways to look at during the holiday season. So the point being that we can manage our money. Now, I don't want to leave you depressed out of Ecclesiastes. Here's the point of Ecclesiastes. If you turn to the end, chapter 12, the end of the matter is this. So after he reviewed everything, Solomon reviewed everything, money, finances, sexuality, control, politics, everything. The end of the matter is this. All has been heard. He's assessed everything. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, like the old catechism question, what's our purpose in being here? It's to serve God. And serving God is knowing him and understanding him. The greatest joy that you'll find, and we'll talk about this more during the rest of the series, is experiencing Christ during the season. That's where we get our joy from. I didn't want to leave you depressed out of Ecclesiastes, but that is where we find our joy, in God and what he has done for us on the cross through his son. He lived a life we could not live. He died a death we could not die to pay a price we cannot pay. Let's pray. Father, would you help to change our hearts during the season, to learn from someone that was wiser than us, that indeed everything that we look to bring us happiness will not. Joy is only found in you, Lord, not in the things that we own or in the gifts that we give this season for us, for our kids, for the people around us. Lord, give us that perspective. Give us a perspective that we couldn't find on our own, Lord, so that we may find joy in this Christmas season. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, some table discussion questions. Who's a person today that has everything? In your opinion, do they have joy? And then share some best practices around managing money well, particularly during the Christmas season, if you can think of any. What are some free, inexpensive gifts ideas that you've given or heard about? Spend some time in your tables talking about that. Go ahead.